question of our usefulness for the kingdom of God has nothing to do with our abilities or our wisdom. It's not about our income or our education. In fact, it really has nothing whatsoever to do with us at all. It's all about the working of God in us and through us. But that doesn't mean that what we believe doesn't matter. Welcome to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his message from Galatians 2, verses 6 through 10, and shares just how important it is for us to be gospel-focused in what we believe and what we do with that belief. Because for each one of us, the power which flows through us to change the world is power that only God can give. And what's more, it's power that rests in every believer, for we're only conduits of His grace to those around us. So we invite you to listen in for the conclusion of this important message.
Remember the soils, the seed that was sown on the path, the birds of the air came and they took it, nothing took. People hear the gospel and it bounces off of them. Then there was the ground that was rocky, and the seed would pop up, but since there was no room for depth of root, it would wither away. Then there was this seed that fell on the soil that had weeds in it. And as it would sprout up, the weeds would choke it out and kill it. If you don't understand that, go look at my flower bed at home. It choked them out. It killed them. But then there was the soil that was prepared. Prepared by who? Prepared by God. Who did God use? How did God do that? He did it Himself, and He did it through whoever He chose. And on that soil, when the seed fell, it sprang up and it produced. See, these Judaizers, they were choking it out. They were stealing the seed so that there would be no production, there would be no harvest, there would be no fruit from those who received it. So Paul didn't want to be running in vain. He wanted to keep that from happening. And it wasn't even about Paul's reputation that he's saying this. What he was concerned about was the souls of those people, that they would not be turned away from God and would truly be saved. Folks, people are willing to confuse us all the time. They are. Some friends of mine, good friends of mine, sent me an email here a while back, and finally this week I was reading it. And they wanted me to give my opinion on an article. I read it 4 or 5 times. And this article took God's word, misapplied it, and scrambled it as to confuse people so that when they gave their conclusion at the end of the article, he said, oh, well, that clears it up. That's what they do to us. We have seen it. We have had it happen. And I say we. It has happened to me, too, where I have to say, no, stop. What is this? And get into God's Word and find it. On that article, I started to answer. I wrote 2 pages, and I hadn't even gotten to an answer yet. And I decided it was time to stop and start over so that I could answer that. I could answer that in something that wasn't a novel. So I had to stop and start rewriting that. But that's what they do. The Judaizers put that stuff out there. The false teachers, that's what he calls them. The false teachers, the false brothers, the false sisters. They'll tell you things and they'll make them sound good. It sounded legitimate to these Gentiles who were wanting to become Christian, who were wanting to become people of the way, that they would have to be circumcised because Jesus was circumcised. He was a Jew. That makes sense. False teachers are always going to try to make sense to you out of a lie. They're always going to try to take a lie and make it sound legitimate. And it has just enough truth in it. And the truth that they had in this lie was that it is by grace. Has just enough truth in it to make it feel like it matches the Scripture. Even when it doesn't. And Paul did not want to run in vain. He wanted these people to be able to mature and to glorify God, to honor God with their whole life. Oh, I truly believe there are people who come to know Christ and never mature. And if that's the case, if that is possible, and I said, I believe it is, that they never mature much, they also never honor and glorify God much. Because God is honored and glorified when we know more of Him and see more of His glory. And if we don't mature, we don't see His glory or as much of it. And so there is never that production of glory to God. Paul also wants to make clear in these verses that those apostles were not his superiors. In fact, the way Paul teaches this is the apostles, we are not inferior to the apostles. If we belong to Christ and we follow him by his word, according to his word, then we are equal peers with them. Let me go on here. Verse 6. And from those who seem to be influential. Now that was mentioned back up in verse 2. It says though privately those who seem to be influential, but that's added. It's in parentheses. But it says, and from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. They were influential with the people. We have prayed this morning for Grace Community Church and Brother MacArthur, John MacArthur. And there are thousands, maybe even millions of people, I'm sure there's millions, who have heard his teaching and been influenced by it. There's not many of us who have that many people hear and become influenced by what we teach. But that does not make him greater in the eyes of our Lord than any one of us. When people come to me and want me to pray for them, I'm glad to do it. But sometimes they think that I have a closer connection to God than they do. If they have a connection to God at all, it's equal to mine. And mine to any other leader. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying they didn't add anything. They didn't make me better. They were influential among the people. Here's what happened. He said, on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. I sometimes, whenever I get the opportunity and circumstances work out, I go to conferences with other pastors. I love to sit and hear these pastors preach and teach the Word of God. There is growth for me in that. There is blessing for me in that. That becomes a blessing that I get to bestow on God. But sometimes when I'm at those meetings, people get wound up in their own education, their own years of experience. Cynthia and I have a son-in-law, John, who is a pastor. When he was going through working on his bachelor's, not his master's, he's working on that now. When he was working on his bachelor's, he was in Florida, and he had to go to a Southern Baptist church and sit under a pastor. The church that he was assigned to, that he went to, had a pastor who did not have a seminary degree. And this pastor was absolutely intimidated by John. He was absolutely intimidated. Now, I love my son-in-law death, but he's one of those nerds that wants to point all that stuff out to you. But he knows his stuff. He's good at what he does. But he was intimidated because of John's education. We can't put ourselves above or below other people. Only service to God, and we are below him. These apostles saw that what Paul was teaching was truth. In fact, what Paul was teaching, the things that are most hated in the world of church today in doctrine, are those doctrines that Paul was teaching that were so close to Christ. Paul talks more than anybody else in all of Scripture about being justified, about being righteous, the righteousness of Christ. He talks more than anyone else about being chosen or elect. But they saw what he had to say, saw what he was teaching, had already heard, and they agreed that he was an apostle to the Gentile. And then somebody added, again, that's what the parentheses mean, that verse 8, for he worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised, worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. They saw this. They saw. That is what they saw. That is how they saw. Those words were added in, but that is what they saw. They could see God's call upon him. And only a fool or a liar would get in the way of somebody that God is using and sending. And they weren't fools and they weren't liars. Now, one of the issues that caused Paul to go up there with this revelation and to feel this way about making sure he's not running in vain was sometimes leaders in a church can be influenced. They can be influenced. When we were in Texas, the pastor that I trained under and walked with for 4 years, I was amazed how people would be walking with him. And I've told you this before. This was the kindest, most gentlest, godliest man I ever met. And how people would be walking with him, and then all of a sudden they were up in arms against him. It just amazed me. But it was always because somebody was whispering in their ear. Somebody was whispering. Somebody was lying in their ear. And when that happened, it would influence them away from truth. Paul was afraid that these Judaizers, and these were strong personalities, okay? That these Judaizers would catch the ear of the apostles there in Jerusalem and influence them with the lies, even lying about their lies, to make Paul look bad. Now, Paul didn't care what people thought of him, but he wanted the gospel to stay true, which is why he fought so clearly for that. And so that's why he went up there. One of the things that he says in this as well is that these people are taking away our freedoms and they're bringing us into slavery. Well, how are they taking away our freedom and taking us into slavery? What were we in bondage to before we were saved? Anybody? Sin. We were in bondage to sin. We were under the law, right? Recognize that terminology? We were under the law. So that means that when we sinned, even one sin makes us guilty of all the law, and that one sin that makes us guilty of all the law brings all the condemnation down on us, because that's what the law does, is it condemns. It shows us what we should be and we're not, so it condemns us. The Judaizers wanted them to do a work of circumcision, putting them back under the law. Because if you aren't saved by grace only, you aren't saved. If you're saved by anything plus grace, you are not saved. You are lost and on your way to hell. But if you are saved by grace only, then you belong to him. So they're trying to take away the freedom. The fact of the matter is these Jews had a problem with Gentiles being added in. Because the Jew is the descendant, the physical descendant of Abraham. The promise came through Abraham. It is through Abraham's line that Jesus came, not the Gentile. But folks, we have people in churches today that if somebody doesn't fit their mold, they really don't want them there. If somebody isn't like them, they really don't want them there. If somebody looks different or maybe has some sort of problem, we don't want them there. But that's not who we are in Christ. In Christ, we have the freedom to overcome that. And we are not slaves. I wanted to go back and point out also in verse 5. It says, to them we did not yield in submission for even a moment. Over the years, I've been asked many times why I'm so willing to fight. Isn't that where we started? I don't want to fight with anybody, but I'm also not willing to compromise. So I have a choice, the same as you have a choice. Sometimes you either have to fight or compromise. And I'm not going to compromise the gospel. I will compromise other things. I will give up other things, but I will not compromise the gospel, because anything else does not honor God. Verse 9 says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, he's still on that, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles as they go to the circumcised. The right hand of fellowship. In other words, they said, we are together. God has sent you to this group and us to this group. I wanted to have a little bit of time left to speak about verse 10. This almost seems out of place or odd, doesn't it? After all of this important conversation, all of this revealing of doctrine, all of that, only they asked us to remember the poor. Doesn't that seem out of place? Only they asked us to. Brothers and sisters, this is how important it is for us to help and remember the poor. Matthew 25. When we look at Matthew 25, we see the final judgment. And the final judgment is those who did not do for those who were in need, or the least of these, my brothers, as Christ called. But here's the thing. If you are sitting back, deciding, well, I'll help Christians that are poor, and you're trying to pick out who the Christian poor are, you're going to miss who God has sent to you to love on. You will miss them. As a church, the mission to those in need is extremely important to us. We spend thousands of dollars every year on electricity to keep food coals and rooms available for people to come and get food and clothing and dishes. We sacrifice as a church. I mean, we haven't ever had a whole lot of anything, have we? But we got a whole lot of everything at the same time. And we give it to whoever we can, whoever is in need. And I love Paul's response. When they want him to remember the poor, the very end of verse 10, if you read that, it says, the very thing I was eager to. Paul knew this. Is doctrine important? Absolutely. Can you compromise on doctrine? Absolutely not. Do you stand on the purity of doctrine? Yes. The gospel is important, of utmost importance. Nothing is more important. But if you have the gospel, if you have very good doctrine and you do not have love that extends to those in need and to those around you, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And your salvation is a lie. Some of the most learned church people I know, I don't believe to be saved. Because what they do is they lord over people with their knowledge. And they look down that proverbial nose because they know so much. We started earlier with the importance of why we come together and meet. And I want this for the radio and for the other ministries as well. We gather on Sunday morning to encourage each other in worship to make much of God. Been teaching this at the other church this morning, usually after church over there. By the time I can get from the front of the church to the back of the church, there's only one or two people left in the building. This morning, nobody left. Bradley was one of the first ones out of there. And he wasn't in a hurry, I can guarantee you. They always wanted a very short message. Well, I've stretched it out. It was 35 minutes this morning. They're hearing God's word, and they're gathering, and they're encouraged, and they're blessed because they're blessing God. And they're hearing His truth. And that's meat to them. It's nourishment to them. That's why I love it when that happens here, when it seems like nobody wants to go home. I don't care how hungry I am. I think that's wonderful. We just are enjoying each other. But only if it comes by the glory of God in that service. And then we come back on Sunday night to carry that forward. To again gather. And Sunday night is a smaller crowd usually. It's a more intimate crowd. And we can get deeper into God's Word. And we worship Him. It seems to me, and this is me speaking, now I wasn't always a preacher, but from the time God saved me and drew me, I was in church as much as it was open. Once I really began to come to Him, and He opened that up to me, and I could see that. When we were in Texas, I went to everything we had at the church. Now, part of it was because we helped everything. But I went to everything at the Methodist church I worked at, too, for the most part. Because of the fellowship and the worship of God. We can't get that by watching a preacher on TV or on the radio. We can grow, and I think it's a good thing to have, listening to that. But we're missing something. Because in our heart, God has placed a desire to gather together and make much of Him. I'm going to close here the same way I closed at the Methodist church, with a story that you've heard before. Story of a old woman, widow woman, who was very poor. She lived next door to an atheist, someone that hated God, hated her, hated. She was in her garden one day, and she was hungry. She didn't have any food, and she began to pray that God would provide for her. The atheist neighbor heard that prayer and thought, well, I'm going to get her. So this man went and bought some groceries. He brought them to the house, and he put them on the porch, and he rang the doorbell, and he hid. And she comes out, and she sees the groceries, and she immediately begins to praise God, worshiping God for these groceries. And the man jumps out, and he says, it wasn't God, it was me who brought those to you. God did not help you. And she continues in her praising and continues in her worship. And she says, thank you, Lord. You not only provided for me, but you used the devil to do it. My question is this as we close. When you speak the truth and you do for those in need, is it the devil doing it and God using you as the devil? Or is it God doing it in you, through you, for His glory? Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, as we close, Father, it is our desire, it is my desire, that not only would we have the true gospel, but that we would make much of you in everything we do, whether it is remembering and serving the poor or standing and fighting for your word. Lord, we live in a time where we may have to fight just to be able to worship you. We see our brothers and our sisters around the country in other places are already having to. Our brothers and sisters around the world are dying because they'll stand up for you. But what are we going to do, Lord? Is it too much for us to come to church twice in a week? Or are we just going to say we're going to stand for you no matter what? We're going to honor and glorify you no matter what. That our life is nothing apart from you. And any time we have in your house with our brothers and sisters is a blessing. And are we going to do good works in such a way that they see those works and honor you? Or are they going to see us? Are they going to see the devil? Oh Lord, you be glorified. Be glorified in us. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
What a tragedy it would be to get to the end of your life and realize that everything you did was done only in the power of your own mind and will. That there was never a moment when you walked in the power of the Spirit. That God used you, but never knew you. It's such an important thing for us to realize that the truth of the gospel is the blood of Jesus shed for sinners. It's never about our worthiness or our ability. But what's more is this simple fact. When we're changed by the power of the gospel, we're changed at a fundamental level. We're made into something that we never were before, children of God. And that miracle is exactly the same for every believer who ever trusted Christ. No one is anything more, and no one is anything less. This means that we all have the power and responsibility to share what we've been given, to love those around us. So go in the strength that you've been given and change the world, one life at a time. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again, 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us, and it applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. And until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. And on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.
Hey, friends. Pastor Jim here with the final word for today's program. I want you to beware and to know what it means to mature. As we mature in Christ, we become more dependent upon him. There are those that would tell you the more you know of him, the less you need. But that is not true. The more you know of him, the more you need him. The more you realize your own weakness. And as we realize that weakness, we become more dependent upon him. And there are people who will come and try to teach us things that do not fit his word. They can make it sound good. They can even make it sound like it's coming straight out of his word. I have heard people quote scripture and quote it in such a way that it was an absolute lie because it was out of context. One of the things that we see in today's world is exactly what Paul was talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For there is a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There are many myths about who Jesus Christ is that are circulating in the American church. Because I work with some people in Pakistan, and I'm seeing them look at the American church and be drawn to those lies. We must be careful. We must stand as the church for the truth. We cannot allow the lies to come in and become a part of our mainstream worship. Oh, those who are seeking with itchy ears. It's so sad. It's sad for those who are hearing. It is sad for those who are seeking. And it is sad for those who are speaking. We are going to be accountable for all that we say, all that we believe, all that we do. We don't want to be those people with the itchy ears. So as we mature, we want to compare everything to God's word, not to man, but to God's word. And we want to test the spirits. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Folks, there are people that is pretty clear and obvious when they start to talk about the things of God's word that they are not from God. But there are others who are more crafty. They're more concealed, and it's very difficult sometimes to decipher who is and who isn't. And so it takes prayer and it takes time in the Word so that we can compare what they have to say back to the Word. Paul goes on in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, and he says, "O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you." Friends, we want God's grace to be with you. We need to look at this and look at those things that are said. We need to know that they match God's word. Because if they don't match God's word, they are of no value. In fact, they lead us astray. Paul in Colossians 2, verse 8, he says, "To see that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Folks, as you study in God's word, show yourself to be approved. Show yourself by prayer to know God's word. And then, when you hear the false teaching, when you hear the lie, you will know it. I'm afraid there's too many people who study the lie to recognize it, and it becomes their doctrine. We don't study the lie, we study the truth, and the lie becomes obvious. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for being a part of this program. May God bless you. Sola Deo Gloria. Until next time.